Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.
Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Photo.
Go on in, cheer.
Hey! No, not if you've got a BS bugger. Right, so we've got a big panel this week. Join us all the way from Scotland, Dave at the Bash.
Hi, Ewan.
What do you shoot with, mate?
A Nikon D60.
Yes, what a boy.
Moving on. We got Alex.
What do I shoot with? A .22. Right.
I was going to say that.
Ooh. Our resident pro who's been here a while. No, you don't. No. Put it back where it was.
I've been told off.
Next to him, our resident photography and porn expert, Will Green.
Well, I hope.
Oh, dude, you don't have to be that close. Just stand by your word. Fine.
Is it?
Yeah, it's really loud. Stand by your
word. Is it?
Yeah. So, there you go.
They said just it's talk normally. Check.
Is it that good, is it?
It is. It's that good.
Okay, great.
And there's not a lot of wind either. It's good.
Okay, lovely.
So, how's the photography coming on?
Brilliant.
Loving taking it. Any pictures?
Not many. I haven't got a camera, if I'm truthful.
What's a camera?
It's a means of making pornography.
We'll be asking you for an opinion later. Dr. Happy Mac stopping over from the Mac Show. You got a camera, dude?
On my phone. There's one on the back of my iPhone.
Okay. Mm. Well, we've got just the article for you in a moment. How you can get those big long lenses on the front of it. Beautiful. Cool. Recently arrived and checked into the hotel. Carl.
Hello.
Photographer.
Part-time, I mean, you know, hobby-wise.
Well, the picture you sent the other day was pretty good. Was that yours, or did you rip that?
Of the field?
No, the one with the girl where you'd use this...
Oh, no, we had a model, she wanted, an actress, and she wanted some, like, photo shots and start off. Shut up. Hang on. No.
I mean, you could go home now.
It's not only the beer at risk.
No, and she just wanted some like headshots and stuff like that, and it was an old one.
She wanted some hedgehogs.
Headshots.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. I'm just too enthusiastic.
I'm not slurring yet.
Next to him, we've got one. Paul, cameraman, not cameraman.
Not cameraman myself.
You just got an iPhone 4? Well,
yeah, but my brother, the gaffer, is into photography.
Okay, you know,
but he's not here.
But he's not.
Okay.
Oh, that's helpful.
Next, we've got Mike.
Yeah, I've got. Just one of those little ones you stick in your pocket when you're going out and walks, a little Canon thing.
No.
And someone who's got a Nikon. Oh, gee, I thought that was a Canon. It's not, it's a Nikon. Steve.
Hi, Dad. Nikon D90. And also, just sold my Canon G9 as well.
Yeah, well, the best thing to do with a Canon G9 is sell it.
Good you, camera.
I've got a G9. I keep one in the bottom of my bag all the time. Never comes out.
Exactly. It weighs down the bottom of your bag.
And here with a long... What is that? Is that a 7200?
No, he's just pleased to see you. Yeah. What? 7200,
yes. He's Redbeard. Arr, give that. What 7200 Canon...
What's the camera?
30D. Is that 7200? It is, isn't it?
Yes, 7200.
2.8. Good lens. Like that.
He didn't comment about the camera, though.
The Week in Photography News, without Carl Swagger. It's his anniversary today, so he's wimped out. And we would have had Chris Forsman here, but we're all too drunk to figure out Skype as well as. We've got to get Eric Lanigan on later for that. We've got to sort it out. We can't just ignore it. Big stories this week in photography. The one that everyone can probably talk about is... Someone has come out with an SLR mount for an iPhone. Have you all seen this?
Yep.
I think I've had nightmares about it. Yeah.
This thing is an SLR mount. There's a big, huge tube that goes on it, like a macro tube.
Right.
And then there's a little plastic bit that just kind of very gingerly fits over your iPhone 4 camera.
It's not made by Pentax by any chance, is it?
No, but it fits. Thank you. It fits Nikon and it fits Canon. You get the relevant one for it.
Right.
It goes on the front of your iPhone, and you can use your 70 to 200 lens that you've got here on a 5 megapixel crappy phone camera. And here's the best bit, it's $250.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
still.
Yeah, well, that'll come down because it'll be mass produced because so many people are wanting it. You've got to remember that.
Loads of people are going to want this, you reckon?
Yeah, well, no, actually.
Yeah, there was $250.
Yeah, there was the piece that was a few weeks ago we did with the flip over lenses, and this just sounds like a bigger mess than that. It's a great idea. Oh no, it's not. Don't forget it. I was just trying to be like, you know, polite, and I thought, you know what? I can't lie to people face to face.
155 quid.
Oh, you just did the conversion. Yeah. 155
no,
quid.
$250 US. By the time we get it.
Now, Dave.
Yeah.
What's the you sent me the story here for this, and what's your view on it?
Well, one of the things they were saying on the article was that it actually works better with the older lenses because you haven't got the autofocus issue. So you've got the manual aperture stop, so you can change the aperture settings, so you can get some decent depth of field effects with the older lenses. So if you've got people like your good self that spent thousands of pounds on glass for their camera, but they tend not to use their older lenses anymore.
It's a good job you said that while my wife's not here.
Perhaps this is...
Oh, she's back.
Perhaps this is an opportunity to break out the old lenses and just take it with you on a walk or whatever and finally get some depth of field.
That's the key point, because when I first saw the story, the stupidity of me, which I have got...
Really?
I actually sat and thought, whoa, this is for the video. This is going to be uber cool because of all the video issues that you can, you know, you can use it, you can do 720p video on it, and you can use all the Canon lenses you've got. And how superb is that? And then I realised that autofocus is all screwed. It's got to do manual. And I'm blind now.
Ah.
I can't live with manual focus anymore. I go and shoot half a day manual focus. I'm going to have to go and shoot another day with autofocus because I'm useless. So, I mean, would anyone buy this at 155 quid? Thank you, Paul.
You know what? The Silence. Point is, though, I mean, I'm not going to be too serious. If you're going to take something that mounts in the first place and then a lens, what part of not carrying the SLR matters anymore?
Yeah.
If you're carrying all that rubbish with you, why not just actually add the light, easy bit, which happens to be the camera, to the back of it and not bother with the rubbish, which is the iPhone?
Well, by the time you've got the extension tube is about 4 inches.
Right.
And then you've got the mount that you've got to put your camera in because of the linkage weakness.
And then you've got the lens.
Which is actually about an inch thick.
Yeah.
You're talking about an extra 5 inches to go onto a lens that you've already got.
And the balance of that is what?
But forget balance, dude. There's nothing going to be...
So, in other words, it's a complete waste of time.
I don't get it.
Have they released it to purely get attention towards maybe another product that they've got? Because the product itself, I know, for me, doesn't make sense. I completely
agree.
Well,
it works because
you carry around a bag with lenses if you've just got your iPhone with you. You take your DSLR.
Someone let Fats Waller in.
Now, I have to say, you know, I've given it my best shot of trying to talk it up, but no, I'm with you.
It's a piece of crap. There we go. Yeah, what photography needs? Expensive crap.
Yeah, because they've never made that.
Not enough. No, it's not enough.
But no, you gotta have loved the lens shape cups, the Canon lens shape cups on the same website.
Well, what's the name of the site again?
Photo Jojo.
Photo Jojo. There is some seriously good stuff on there. It's well worth a trip. There, apart from there being cameras, lenses that are actually mugs, there's an extending flash for your X-Light. I bought one of those instantly. Thank you.
I think everyone that buys these are mugs.
No. There's you like ring flash. You want ring flash. Well, the ring flash fits onto your existing speed light, and you put it on, and then it just sends it down through prisms, and you get a ring flash. And it's
$50. I seem to remember you designed a cheap thingy that did exactly the same thing.
Yeah, it's in the cupboard now.
So why are we paying $50 for something that you
can have it? Cost me £4 from Wilco.
It's no twig pod, though, is it?
No, there is a twig pod. No. Actually, Photo Jojo has got a thing on it called the twig pod.
Right, that's it. We're suing.
The twig pod is actually a monopod with a spike on the end of it that you can use to screw into a compact.
And
it's like a pencil.
It?
It's rubbish. There we go.
You know, I mean, if you can't grow one naturally, what's the point?
Nah, bah humbug. We're not buying it then.
No.
It's the only time the Nikon users and Canon users are going to be unified.
Yeah, we all hate Pentax. Not really.
No.
I thought I could mention the fact that I got a Pentax because Kyle wasn't on the show. I didn't know you were going to give me grief as well.
No, because Kyle's not here, we have to build up.
Did you get the Pentax made out of Lego, though?
No, I've got a Pentax that was bought specifically for when I do boating, and it was the best waterproof camera around at the time.
And we're not talking about the politician there.
No.
No, I thought you were about to say, because I wouldn't mind if I lost it.
Is that what the man who sold it to you told you?
Yeah, he sold him this camera in a plastic bag and he said,
I just feel like it's going to get abuse throughout this podcast, aren't I?
What he meant was it's disposable.
It was good at the time.
I'm sure it's
been superseded.
Is it digital?
Yes.
Okay, it's not plate film or anything.
No.
No, okay.
It's not that old.
Sigma.
Yeah, well, we've gone digital now.
I'm trying hard here. Sigma.
Right.
Have released the SD1.
Yeah.
Hello, dude.
That SD1's been in the offing for about a year now.
Yeah, it was released at Photokina 2010, and it's finally shipping, allegedly, now. It's a Sigma camera. Anyone going to guess the price?
I'm not, because I know it. It's higher than you think.
£6,199.
Is that a medium format or something?
No, it's an SLR.
Oh, gee.
But it does have a triple...
Is it...
It has the triple, what do they call it? Favicon? I can't remember what they call it. It's a new type
it's
of sensor that.
Fovian X3 technology.
That was pretty well.
Can you get an iPhone, mate?
Favicon is the little things that go on a website, aren't
they?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, what they do, they have three, the way the sensor works, you have a 3 or 6 or 8 megapixel sensor, but you have a green, a blue, you know, you have the red, green, and blue, and you have separate sensors. And the whole idea of that is it builds up a picture. And you get far higher megapixels because if you've got separate sensors reading separate colours. And when you put it together, you can actually put it together in a RAW format, so you can actually adjust the colours at source.
Isn't that 3CCD, though? Which was crap.
It's sort of, but it's actually three separate sensors, though. It's rather than 3CCD was three layers behind each other, wasn't it?
I thought it was three sensors. Okay, I could be wrong, but...
No, you're probably right.
Is 3CCD three sensors or three layers? You've got access to my Wi-Fi, dude. Let's Google it.
This red camera came out and kind of blitzed the video camera world in terms of their quality.
Red are incredibly dear.
But in the same way, in terms of photography gear, is that what they're trying to do? Come in above the level of Nikon
it's
and Canon with a new technology?
It's not a new thing for Sigma.
It's 2002.
Sigma have been doing this for quite some time. I know a few professionals that use Sigma kit.
Yeah.
I think it's... just because they don't want to join the Nikon and Canon brigade.
I think the thing is, for perception terms, Sigma, everyone looks at Sigma and see them making add-on lenses for every other camera. But what you've got to remember is they've got a fantastic range of lenses for their cameras because they make all of the add-on stuff.
What I would say is, if you like to call us, they do a pro-end Sigma lens, which is as good as anything you'll buy from Canon and Nikon. You'll pay the same money. They do a cheap range. But their top of the range lenses are—they're quite frankly superb.
Yeah,
they really are.
They do the 800mm, 600mm f/2.8s, and they're $5,000 plus, same as the Canons are.
They're proper lenses.
But everyone talks about jumping from, I'm going to jump from Canon to Nikon because Nikon are doing the low light stuff far better than Canon are, and everyone says, well, you know, okay. Canon did photo quality, low noise was far better with Canon, so everyone jumped from Nikon to Canon. Hmm. But no one ever talks about, I'm going to go from Nikon to Sigma.
You know what, I just had a thought Sigma could do, which was very clever. They're making lenses which are standardised with different mounts for different manufacturers. We're always saying the reason we don't swap cameras is because of the glass. Why don't Sigma design a detachable mount? So once you buy it, you can then decide if you want a Nikon or Canon fit.
But that was available back in the 70s.
Yeah, but it was all manual and it didn't have all the same... and it was the
Some
ratio...
Some of the people here weren't available in the 70s.
Would they then sell less lenses, though? Because you would have... You would buy one... They would sell
people,
one product.
People don't jump. This is the conversation we always have with myself and Ewan. Ewan, at the moment, likes Nikon. There's been times where I've liked Canon. We... look at that face. Only a mother would love it. We can't move because we are absolutely stuck. Well, I can't afford to go and buy a Canon. And the only way I could do it is I could go and buy a Canon and swap all my Nikon lenses with you, and then he could have your Nikon and take all my lenses.
Dude!
That's the only... I don't want a Canon at the moment. But by the time I want a Canon, you'll be happy having Canon again because a Canon will be on top. But if you had a manufacturer like Sigma doing this, they're not... I'm not going to buy a Canon version and then a Nikon version. It's just going to be the same. I'm either going to stick with one or the other. But if I bought a Nikon body, and Sigma did that option, I would say, you know what, I think I'm going to go and buy a 5 grand Sigma lens and not a Nikon lens, because if I ever want to go to Canon, they haven't got me over a barrel, and I think Sigma might be missing a trick with this, especially on the professional end. Wouldn't you do that?
Are you really going to spend 6 grand on a Sigma?
I've used Sigmas. I'm not on a body, maybe, but I've used Sigma.
Well, that's what we're talking about. I'm sorry to bring you back to the subject.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. You know what?
Sigma have got a body at £6,000.
I know enough people that spend money on Sigma bodies.
You see, I spent 6.5 on my 1DS Mark II, but I'm not going to spend 6.5 on a Sigma.
Have you tried it? No, that's my point.
Yeah. I'm not going to spend six and a half grand on a Sigma at all, whether it's in my hands or not in my hands.
No. But what they need to do then, Sigma, they need to go to the Calumets of this world, and they need to say, we're going to give you a fantastic deal. It's 6 grand to the customer, 4 grand to you. You know, they can push this thing as hard as they can, because if it's got the quality and the shops are willing to push it for them, that's all they need. All they need is people to actually get them in their hands if they're that good.
Now, you got a leaflet yesterday.
Oh, I got a leaflet.
Are you saying they offered you 4 grand for it?
It's not 6 grand in the know, put it that way.
Ah, oh, right, okay. So there you can get cheaper. Write to Alex G. Fox at...
Yeah, I'll do it for 5, all right? You could make a few quid out of this.
Is there a possibility that they don't do it? Because I think you're right, Alex. I think it's an absolutely fantastic idea. And I say, back in the 70s...
Stop.
I was buying lenses
but.
That had interchangeable... fittings just for that very same reason. So, but could it be that there's a licensing issue where there is the connection technology for Nikon and Canon, they have to pay some sort of licensing cost to produce lens fittings for those cameras, and there is a restriction in that licensing that says you cannot make a fitting that will enable you to adapt to other cameras?
You may possibly be right, because of, you know, I'm not, you know, pretending that I'm probably the first one to ever think of this. There probably is a financial reason, because as for a physical reason, I don't know of one, there is a lens multiplier issue, but it's quite irrelevant. It might be a 5% difference lens multiplier, but you've got one anyway, so does it matter if it's 1.55 or 1.6? Not really.
No.
So that maybe there is a financial restraint.
I'm not even sure about the multiplier thing, because if you're making a lens that's got an interchangeable adapter on the back, you don't have to adapt onto the back of your existing connection. You can take it onto the back of an earlier part of the lens.
The last few pieces of glass in that lens will be slightly different.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then you'd end up having to take half the lens away to put an adapter on.
The thing is, the bayonets are patented. That's what's controlling them. Yeah. So if you replicate those, you're in breach of patent license.
So they must have
a license.
They're
doing those now.
No, but then they sell the license on. But this is the whole point, is that the camera world is all about the walled garden. Everyone goes about Apple with the walled garden, but the walled garden has always been and probably will be, because they're too stupid to see otherwise. Canon and Nikon and Olympus and Sigma are all going to be in that walled garden. They're not going to go for it. They're not going to go for open APIs. They're not going to go for open bayonet fittings. You know, you look at the two things that have got closest... Four thirds and Micro Four Thirds, and where are they?
Yeah.
Well, that's just people squabbling.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Far be it from me to say, but it's one of those things that, you know, you need a group that is, you know, maybe an off camera. You know, you need off camera. That's what you do with a flash, isn't it? You need a group that's actually got some way of being able to push the patent rules and say, you know, you've got to fit in like an EU or a US patent law change.
Yeah, definitely.
But we as customers are the ones that are paying for it.
At this point, we can bring in Will Green and ask him what his favourite glass is.
A full one.
Sorry, what do you want?
We want to know your favourite glass, mate.
Oh, I love them. I love them. Every single one. I always thought that the aperture 3.6 on a
one of those
f-stop 28 is the best setting. What particular glass?
Kodak makes some damn fine cameras. Damn fine cameras.
No, I'm sure that it's thing is, so it's easy to scoff, isn't it? when no, at my position.
I'd just like to point out that Will's been at the opposite end of the garden for most of the conversation we just had. So carry on. You see, he's gone.
Not with
a
bucket on your head, it's not.
I did switch off a little bit. As interesting as this is, what's the question? What are you talking about?
Do you like my glasses?
I love them.
Thank
I
you.
Think they're brilliant.
Steve looking on in horror because he knows he's got this on the 18th.
Yes.
He's the same with Mac, dude. Don't think he's any different with photography.
But he's the resident expert, as he did point
on the 18th, we'll tell the barmaids, don't serve him.
You know what's
orange,
worrying?
Fine.
That doesn't make
He'll be taking
difference.
Pictures of them.
If you've got barmaids, mate, he's going to have his application out. And they'll no, you can't do it with your top on, love.
It's a medical thing.
Canon have suggested that they're going to go for a mirrorless compact. They're going to get away with the mirrors and mirror. Did you get mirrorless?
No.
I don't get mirrorless. Anyone else get mirrorless?
There'll still be smoke.
Oh, very good.
Nick and I have been pushing it for a while, haven't they, on the patents and on development. They're going for it. They want that camera that's small enough that can be put in someone's pocket, similar to a G9 in terms of size, but
I think the word you're looking for is bridge, because it really gets him going.
No, I don't get bridge either. No, fair enough, I admit that.
But you mean, like the G9 then, don't you?
I've got a G9, yeah.
You like it?
And it's passable. It's a passable camera to do quick and easy shots with. Too much noise on it, though. Way too much noise.
Yeah.
You can turn that beep off, though, can't you?
Slow as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not going to start using it at Twickenham for sports photography on full optical or anything like that.
In a funny way, that's where mirrorless sort of does work, on the grounds that focusing is a hell of a lot quicker on a mirrorless camera, and that's one of the benefits.
Focusing's the biggest strain on a G9.
Yes.
But just at all, not speed.
You know, I mean, there is a point to say, okay, but if it's a compact, why has it got a mirror in the first place?
Yeah.
Because if you can't take the lenses off, then why do you need a mirror?
I mean, if you look at the mirrorless, I mean, the original camera was mirrorless.
I still use
you take
most
the cap
of my
off,
cameras are
you
mirrorless.
You put the cap back on. You know,
don't tell everyone what I do for a living. That's what I, you know, most of the cameras I do don't even, if you forget about mirrors, I, you know, they've barely got a lens.
Mm.
You know, I use in fact, I've got a lens, I've got a bellow, and I've got a box.
Do your customers know this?
I charge them far more when they see me turn up with the box. You know, they think, wow, you must be a really good photographer, because nobody since 1848 has been able to work one of
them. They're just happy when you put the sheet over your head to take the picture.
And what happens when I take the sheet off? There's no one there when I take it
off. What sensor have you put in the box?
When you don't have a mirror.
Yeah, but I understand the single
SLR,
lens reflex.
Right?
Yeah, there's the little mirror thing.
Yeah.
So it hasn't got one of them.
No.
So how does it work then?
Well, what happens when you've got a mirror in the camera, you look for an eyepiece, yeah?
Yeah.
And what you're doing is that there's a 45 degree angle mirror that you're looking through, like what's them things they used in the trenches?
Yeah, I get that.
Periscope.
Right?
Yeah, periscope, right?
Yeah.
But what they do, instead of now having a eyepiece and you look through a lens, they're basically digitizing that image through the lens at source. Digitising that image through the lens at source, and therefore you don't need a mirror anymore. But you also don't get an eyepiece anymore.
Oh, I see. So what you... Well, okay. So
and what that actually does, it takes out the physical restriction in the camera. You always had to have a certain distance between the end of the lens and the back of the camera.
Spooky, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's not right,
it's
is it?
It's a conspiracy. It's definitely communist. You're right.
Mechanically, there was more to go wrong, and mechanically, it took longer as well as. So your capture speeds would go down.
Okay, doesn't sound right to me though. I mean, surely.
You talk about things like burst mode. Imagine a burst mode where you open something and then the sensor itself switches the receptors on and off electronically, as opposed to when you open burst mode, it's got to physically move something up and down.
I suppose the only thing I'm saying, as a semi-pro, I would like to say, is it's the idea for me of taking a photograph. It's a very organic, a very sort of almost, I want to say analog type thing. And when you've got this digital filter between you and the thing of photographing, it sort of takes the soul away a little bit, doesn't it? Do you think?
You know what? I don't.
You do agree with me.
I know.
You do. There it is. There it is.
Oh no.
Will Analog Green speaks.
Well, no.
I've got to admit, I have always felt exactly the same. You started off on film, etc.
I do. I agree.
And we do talk about how nice it is that we don't have to go in the dark room, this, that, and the other. But you have a bit of film in your hand, or you have a picture that you shot with a negative and a nice, you know, an analog blow up of something, it has a soul to it that digital photography doesn't have. And I just agreed with Will Green in public.
Exactly.
There is a certain thing as well, though, because I've noticed I completely frame shots differently with my left eye compared to my right eye. And I don't shoot with constantly one eye, I shoot with both eyes. Not at the same time.
It will. What's he going on about?
I don't know.
If you look at the framing of a shot,
yeah,
I'll take a. I find myself far more. I have more artistic, with my left eye than I am with my right eye.
But we all know why, don't we?
With my right eye, go on.
Left and side.
Well, I don't know about that, but
no, but it is the left and right side of your brain.
I frame shots differently with my left eye from my right eye, and that's gone when you've got an LCD on the back of it.
Yeah, it's an emotional thing. The left and right side of your brain is an emotional thing. I mean, I know that's got nothing. I mean, it's as much to do with Will's pick as anything else. It's a medical reason, but there is a difference. And when you do use an LCD, you don't frame the shot in exactly the same way. You don't. Do you look in the corners?
You get the benefit that what you see is what you get.
Yeah, but you don't tend to look in the corners. When I look for a viewfinder, my eye flicks top left corner right, and you actually sort of skirt around it with your eye just to see what's in the corners. When you do it on LCD, you focus purely in the middle, and what's around the outside is what's around the outside. You do not concentrate the same way.
You're looking sceptical, Steve.
No, I was just interested on your point that you frame a picture differently with left eye and right eye. Why is that? Why do you think you?
I'm happier artistically with what I shoot with my left eye, and my customers are happier with technical stuff when I've done it with my right eye for some reason.
It's actually
Follow different rules in terms of rules of thirds?
It's a feeling. It's I'm happier. It's not a. I haven't sat down and written a manual on this. I just notice, and I definitely do. There's no subjectivity in it. I definitely do frame images completely differently when I look through left or right eye.
So I'd love to know whether that's a human special thing, or whether quite a few.
Well, you stay later. I'll show you.
No, but is this something that quite a few people find?
Well, I don't know. You'll have to ask.
But when you you're actually looking in an LCD, I tell you what. When you look in an LCD, you're contemplating. It's more than that. It's almost like you've seen the finished shot. It's almost like you've seen the print or you've seen the screen. That's how it feels.
Well, you get 100% as well, which when you look, you've got your Nikon there.
Yeah.
You look through that Nikon, you're going to get about 92%, and Nikon's the biggest of the lot with those. You get down to as low as 82% with some of the Olympus used to do 82. Mm. Something stupid. It was low. Now, if you look
it's
through
96
that,
on that,
especially with a pair of glasses on, you'll notice this. If you look through that physically look through it now.
Yeah.
Now, just turn the camera relative to your eye, and you'll start to see that actually you're not looking at every one of the four corners.
You're actually
missing bits of the frame that you're seeing. And then do it through the other eye, and you'll see that because of the tilt of the lens and the tilt of the camera against your eye, so one corner will be out and the other corner will be in. There's a change. There's a definite change just based on angle.
So what's it? Does this mean we should crop more? Does this mean we should have cameras with a full 100% coverage?
Well, now here's the difference maybe between the pro and the amateur is I don't shoot to crop.
Yeah. No, I don't. I agree with you. You should not shoot.
So the average amateur is going to shoot as much as possible, and then afterwards we'll crop in. Or even worse, they'll just print what they've got, and it's mum in the middle of Warwick Castle, but there's 2.5 acres round her.
Snob, isn't he?
But I would say, in all honesty,
the difference between an amateur and a pro, you'll find.
No. I'm saying.
I would say, in all honesty, right, that if I'm shooting something professionally, I'm looking in every corner. Because of, I feel like I'm framing a picture for sale. It's what I do for a living. When I shoot something emotionally, as what you said, with a different eye, for instance, I want and I care about what's right in the middle of the picture, my subject, and the rest of it is almost like a bonus when I get the print or I look at the screen. I'm like, oh, there's a bird in that top right-hand corner. Yeah. There's something interesting going on, which I didn't care about when I took it because I've got an emotional attachment to the middle of the picture because I'm taking a picture. When I do it for work, I could tell you what's in every last pixel of that picture because I'm doing it as a a technical issue, but it's an emotional issue. It sort of goes back to the film, and also with film there wasn't the wastefulness, so you were, every shot you sort of took, it was because it was going to cost you money. You were like I want this to be an important shot, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to take 58 of them because we're going to the park, and if one of them looks good then everyone thinks I'm a great photographer. And so there's a massive emotional, I know it's a monetary input you're putting when you use film, but that actually adds, it makes you more, you think harder about what you're doing.
Yeah.
You don't want to just take a picture, you want to take a good picture.
I had a conversation on the train coming home last night, two guys opposite me on the table. I actually spoke to the people opposite me. Called me weird.
You were stuck.
But one of the guys was going about, he said, well, you know, I there's a bit of me that I shoot because it's digital, and whereas I shoot and shoot lots and get what I want, and you shoot and you'll shoot it far quickly. And I was like, yeah, but what the modern digital photographer doesn't have, there's no pain. No pain, no gain.
Oh.
Because I've gone away in the past at 20 years of age, shot off two rolls of film with someone, and then gone back and realised I'd cocked everything up and had to do it again. And that was at least seven, we're going back 20 years, that's £7 for a piece of film if it's average Kodak at the chemist film. Plus you've then processed it down the labs, another £6 or £7 if you're talking about taking it to Boots, you're talking more like £12 if you're taking it to a photo laboratory. And all of a sudden, that's £40 gone when you're 20 years of age. Mm. So you stop screwing around and shooting and shooting and shooting and seeing what happens. You stop experimenting a little bit at times.
Sure, but you also, when you use film, when I shoot a film at work, it's like a nervous energy. It's like, I've got to get this picture right because this sheet of film, I'm charging £50 for this sheet of film, and it's actually costing me £20, right? Yeah. And I go somewhere with digital and I think, I just hold down the button for 5 minutes and one of them's bound to be right. And I don't have any buzz in my stomach. I've got no fright whatsoever that I'm going to get the picture wrong. Because I think I'll fix it afterwards. I'll sod it. I haven't got time for this. Yeah. I'll take 20 versions of this same picture and no one will ever know, yeah. Right? And they never do. But when I shoot on film, I sit there and every skill that I ever learn comes out, and I look at every corner, I look at every reflection, I look at every bit of the light, and it's almost an excitement because it's something I learned to do by getting it wrong so many times. There's a buzz about using film because you only get the one chance to get it right.
There you go, Alex Fox, keeping a room quiet as opposed to clearing it.
I'm not sure that's an insult or a compliment, but there you go.
Ask a question.
Go.
Previously on the podcast we said don't shoot him more.
No.
I like shooting in raw. I shoot in raw.
Sorry.
But wasn't it a previous thing in terms of, well, you may not always need to shoot in raw because if it's JPEG, if it's out in the open, if it's nice and light, there's actual no added value that you're probably going to have due to putting a raw on it as opposed to just doing it in JPEG.
See, the thing that I've got in that is that when I'm taking a kit picture of some old guy who's won £20 on the lottery for the Tamworth Herald... I really think Roll's a bit over the top myself, but yeah, I mean, tell me wrong, Steve. I'll gladly step down from that position, but that's what I'm saying. I didn't say don't. I'm saying it's a use case.
Yeah.
You know, do I really want to go through the ins and outs of Raw when I'm shooting Fred with £20 in his pockets thanks to the National Lottery? No. And it's going to be published at 2x2
yeah.
In black and white, potentially not colour or something. Yeah, it's grain to high hell. It's only got a 200 screen on it as opposed to anything of high quality. It's pointless.
But for me, somebody maybe getting into photography, listening to the podcast, kind of trying to learn things, for me getting into RAW was quite useful because then you get even iPhoto or the simple apps, you can then alter the characteristics of the photo a lot more powerfully than I could when I was shooting in JPEG. So it's,
I mean, RAW, for instance,
in terms of,
yeah, for instance, a situation like I took some crappy pictures of my garden the other day because I'd killed the lawn and I just wanted a record of killing the lawn, right? And the sunlight came across the room, came across the garden, and I did it on my iPhone, which is a JPEG, and it was the world's worst picture in the world. It didn't make any difference. And I was thinking, you know, if I'd have shot that on anything with RAW, I would have just been able to recover all that rubbish. And it wasn't an important picture, so it didn't make any difference. If you're in a difficult circumstance, and if it's got different lights and darks, shoot them RAW.
Yeah.
If it's dark shooting RAW because you'll be able to get rid of a lot more of the noise. If you're in a situation where you're at the beach and it's nice and sunny and you're just taking a quick picture of your kids, then shoot JPEG, don't waste your time. But it's a case thing.
Mm.
JPEG will automatically, because the way JPEG works, it does a sort of RAW conversion anyway. But if everything is fairly even, if it's good light and not light and dark, JPEG will do just as well as RAW, because it will, if you think of JPEG as a RAW conversion, which is automatic, if you're not giving it anything difficult to do, it will do it perfectly fine. Yeah. It's only when you're in a situation where there's things that you need to manually recover, then you need RAW.
For me, I take a lot of pictures of my kids, kind of 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds running around, and if I get a picture and it's rubbish, I have got a few pictures where I've improved through RAW that are now stunners, and for that reason I'll always shoot in RAW, just in case I can always capture back that actual good image through processing.
I mean, RAW
storage is cheap, so the fact that it's 4 meg versus 1 meg doesn't really matter.
If you're going to do a batch conversion anyway, you can shoot in RAW. But as Ewan says, if you're going to do something, I mean, the difference is, I don't want to be too kind to Ewan, but he knows what he's doing with the camera. He can see a situation, he can go, you know, there's going to be no problem with this picture. I'm just going to shoot it because there's no problem, there's no possible correction I'm going to need to do afterwards.
That's
with the
left eye or the right eye?
I will, you know. No, he's that good, he could do it with no eyes.
The other thing on RAW with the Nikons, and I don't know if it's true on the D90 as it is, but I know it's certainly true on my D60. The processing of RAW to JPEG internally within the camera, I've noticed I get such a difference in quality on the Nikon when I'm shooting in RAW compared to the JPEGs. So I think it may not be so with Canons, but certainly on the D range of the Nikons, there is a definite quality difference, not just the being able to now you're shaking your head, but we've had this conversation.
There's no difference on the camera.
Oh, no. No, sorry?
I don't get quality difference at all.
Yeah, I do on the Nikon.
£5,000 camera.
Yeah, true.
Which is why I specifically said the D series.
I might back that up, actually, because I moved from a Canon G9 RAW to a Nikon D90 RAW, and it was, and the amount of improvement I could make through a Nikon D90 RAW compared to the G9 RAW was incredible. The G9 RAW, I could improve it a lot, whereas the D90 took a very little amount of work to improve the photos.
Yeah,
you've got to remember that. I mean, that's a firmware issue, though. You know, it's like software. The software gets better.
Yeah.
You know, a G9 RAW file. When was that designed? 10 years ago.
And you notice that everyone that's talking about Trolls is talking about Nikon.
The original file for that. It's an old Canon file.
So the camera's 3 years, 4 years.
Yeah,
old.
But it's an old.
Is it okay?
It's an old technology.
Yeah.
RAW, that's why every time you get a new camera, Adobe have to bring out a new RAW converter. Yeah. Nikon or Canon, they don't have the same RAW in the new camera. It's a different file type. You need a different camera in your Adobe settings. Because the software gets updated.
Sorry. I've got a supernatural story about RAW.
Go on then.
I'm scared to death.
It's not the new story, it's a supernatural story.
It's supernatural.
We only did one episode of that. Yeah.
Please.
It's interesting. So, if you're listening to this podcast and you've no idea what RAW is, Ewan, what is RAW?
Is that
the supernatural bit?
Well, it's going to come after the explanation, you see.
Right, JPEG is a compressed format. And TIFF is supposedly a lossless compressed format. RAW is uncompressed. It is what your sensor saw at the time that you opened the shutter.
Exactly. So your camera doesn't do any, in a sense,
processing.
Work. Processing, yeah.
No work.
And so everything that your camera picks up, you've got on your computer.
Very good.
And so the processing that your camera might do is okay, but if you think of the little chip or the little computer inside your camera, it's not going to be as powerful as your Mac.
Right.
And so the processing power that you...
Or PC.
Sorry. Yes, or PC. So that's a subtle difference. And there's many things that your camera, if you didn't take in RAW, will miss because it does quantization, doesn't it? it sort of takes. You see, I know what I'm talking about. You never thought I did you?
Where is Will Green? What have you done with him?
I hide it.
I've seen an episode, I think it was Torchwood, when they had a contact lens and someone was feeding them information.
So, anyway, so I'll hide my knowledge under a bushel. But the point I'm saying is, I used to work with this lady who, using aperture, was taking supernatural photography, and she took it in RAW, and she also took it in JPEG, because, you know, some cameras you can do it.
It catches both, yeah.
Yeah, it'll take both at the same time. And she was doing, like, orb and just, well, you know, spiritual photography.
I'm sorry.
That's nice, isn't it? That's nice.
Please do, camera.
Yes, and so we analysed both of the things, and there was so much more. I'm not going to say spirits or whatever, although I am a believer.
Hey!
But it was really interesting, the depth and the detail that RAW brought out, especially when it came to something like this. And, you know, you might not believe, but there are certain things that are captured in RAW that are not captured in JPEG. And maybe I'm just taking this too seriously.
I just love that whole story's gone on.
Yes.
And the bit where he was talking about the lady capturing the image, he said, well, of course, there was nothing there.
But there was. There was, honestly. I saw some really impressive images, and she was a lovely lady.
But there was no supernatural bit, so there's no...
Yeah, there was. Indeed,
I'm frightened that he knows about RAW.
I know all sorts.
We've turned into Bagel Tech Unexplained in so many ways.
We could do that before the night's out. We've got everyone here.
But what is unexplained is, where did you get...
The second, that's what I mean.
Apple trained me.
In RAW?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah, I got, honestly.
So when they call you a RAW recruit, they don't mean that you're...
No,
RAW.
They don't mean, right, just that way. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right, Ewan, you're going to have to bring this up to a whole new level.
In a green recruit.
Incredible. I'm speechless. What can I say?
Can I ask, because I'm hearing it, so I don't normally get involved with the photo thing, but we were talking in the car on the way up, about how the fact that, even though I went to art college and did design and things, the one thing I could never, ever do is photography.
Right. That's good.
Although I can...
More work for us.
Yes. Right. Although I can look at a layout and things and do everything that's involved with, like, you know, balance and composition, etc., etc., etc. If you give me a camera, it's just like... So I just wondered if, you could go round and everyone could say one thing that I could do to fix that.
Buy a camera that isn't an iPhone 4 would be a good start.
Buy a camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, but assuming that I've had cameras in the past.
Do you know what?
But is it just throwing money at it? If I spend... £6,000 on this camera you were talking about,
yeah. Buy it off for you for
and
free.
Right. What? No, £6,000 on a decent lens, possibly bigger than that one there. God,
bigger?
Inadequate.
then am I going to get perfect pictures?
No.
It's along the short of it.
Because what I'm saying is, if I did that, if I had that camera... With the lens and all the things like that, then the pictures that I took would be incompetent. So,
but I can't see that how all the things that you've learnt about composition and balance in an image don't translate to a camera.
No, neither do I.
Do you know what's really interesting? I've got a friend.
What you might talk. Sorry, Alex. That's what you might talk about is the fact that what you see through the viewfinder means that you can't apply those. In which case, then we're talking about mirrorless technology and looking at the LCD and nothing else is beneficial to you. Because what you'll see is what you get, so you can apply all those things. Whereas what these guys are doing at the moment, looking through the cameras, they're not seeing everything that the camera is capturing. There's going to be a strip, roughly 1/5 around the outside, which is over and above everything that they thought that they were taking as a maximum. And over time, I've got used to ignoring that fact and deliberately shooting too close, if you like. So...
I mean, I've got loads of friends that are artists, because that's what I work in. And one of the reasons I get a lot of work is they can see an object, and they can see intricacies. I mean, you're an artist, you understand it. They can see intricacies in things.
I'm a designer.
No,
it's a completely different
you
thing.
You have an idea. But they can see things that, I'm like, how did you see that? How did you get the balance between light and dark and shade and shadow and all this sort of thing? Because my brain just sees an object. And they can see things, and it's the same way as if you can draw really well. You see things that we can't see. But you give these people a camera, and It's unbelievable how bad they are. It astounds me. You know, you put something square in front of them and they take it at 45 degrees from above and you think, my kids could get that straighter than you.
I'll never do that.
But the point is, it's two completely different skills, and I'd honestly say that if you're very adept on one, it actually possibly limits you on another. And I'd go back to this emotional thing. Design is an emotional thing. You see things, you see how things lay out, you see a whole concept, you see a finished product. When you've got your eye on a viewfinder, it's an emotional thing. You're seeing a point, and you're not necessarily too bothered about the rest of it. You're building up something emotional in your head. As we went through before with a viewfinder, as Ewan just said, if you shot with something with a viewfinder and you looked at it as a final production piece, you probably would end up with a far better picture.
It might be the way for you, mate. That's the key part. Buy a camera, buy a Penny 1 or whatever it is. Penny 3 or whatever.
3.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah, I know the 1, but the 3's. You get a 1 cheat now because the 3's.
That's true, that's
true. Questions. Should we do some questions?
Yeah, go on in.
Bring them on.
Question from Mark in Chippenham. I recently saw some photography of. I nearly said pornography then.
You're a bad influence.
I recently saw some photography of London landmarks, and the photographer had made them look like they were macro images with a very narrow depth of field. Inspired, I took to my local high street, and without getting arrested, turned my aperture down to f1.8 and attempted to get the same effect. Unfortunately, and perhaps predictably, I didn't get what I'd seen in the pictures. Have you got any tips or something that I'm missing regarding depth of field principles which may help me?
There's a nice way of doing it with a pinhole camera. I don't know how the person... But you can get lenses that actually... I mean, 1.8 is irrelevant. The actual lens is a specialist lens built for doing, you know, architectural photography.
Mm.
You know, I mean, I've got Bellows cameras that, you know, 1.8 on my Bellows camera will give me a depth of field as if it was a 0.1 on a normal camera. It's, you know, it depends what the camera is. If you're doing it on an SLR, you're a bit screwed, really, because you're stuck within the confines of what an SLR.
But your Bellows camera is giving you much more narrow because of the size and the amount of light that's streaming.
Exactly.
In. That's the
you
key
can,
factor.
You can stop down to... Oh, it's incredible how far you can stop down on a Bellows camera. We did an article recently with a guy that had done like a 6 foot across plate camera, if you remember. Now, the things you can do with that because of the size of the lens and the size of the plate at the back, you know, aperture wise, you can go from 0.01 to 150. You know, they don't obey the same rules as an SLR camera. And I would either say there was a lot of photoshopping in the final object.
I think it's probably Photoshop.
Or they used a Bellows camera because the rules don't apply. You can bend the rules. You can bend round corners with a Bellows camera, so you can bend all the rules.
I mean, I was going to suggest probably that maybe tilt shift had been used. I haven't seen the images that they're talking about, but
tilt shift. I mean, tilt shift.
Tilt
you can tell
tilt blurs
shift.
One
yeah,
side.
Yeah,
it's not like
the
a
the correction
narrow
on tilt
strip.
Shift is a bit dodgy. Yeah. I mean, it works if you've got no other way around taking a picture, but it's a little bit suspect. You can only ever use the middle of the picture to keep it sharp. So I just want to check with Will.
Well, I'm going to say on this one, this is controversial.
I'm sure.
Okay. So I think a lot of photographers have put thousands and thousands of pounds into the lenses and this, that and the other and their technique and so forth, which is a bit old school in a sense. I feel that you could take, anybody could take any photo with a good lens and a good camera in RAW and do whatever you wanted to do with it in Photoshop. And I reckon, and almost, to be honest, if you think about the output size, if you're not going to output it on like a billboard and you're just going to put it on the web or anything else, I reckon most people could replicate something that Ewan took with his £6,000 worth of equipment with a point and shoot, take it, whack it in Photoshop, mess around with it a little bit, sharpen it, etc., etc., and come out with pretty much exactly the same result for anybody. And there's a whole sort of inverted snobbishness with
it. Yeah, but you put us out of business if you're right.
It's an argument.
Oh, well, I mean, this is what it's all about, isn't it? I mean,
but
surely.
No,
what
again,
do we think?
You're frightening me because I might not agree with you, but it was Kojin.
Yeah.
And hey? Kojin, look it up.
I know.
Andrew, could you explain it to
us? The thing that I disagree with is that photography you do for the sake of enjoyment of the picture you take there and then. if you then have to take it away and do hours of work on it, you don't enjoy it.
But you don't have to do
the one thing I will say with that is Alex and I'll definitely disagree with you on that, because the one thing that you, if you want to stop taking pictures, become a professional photographer.
Oh.
The photo Bagel Tech photo photo stream,
we're the only ones.
I'm an absolute arse at trying to get something done, because I go out and I shoot all day and it's crap. The last thing, and to inspire myself to do something artistic, it's dreadful. I hate it.
I mean, the one thing you can't do on Photoshop, and there's some pictures of Ewan's up on Flickr that illustrates this admirably, is there's a crispness if you get the shot right that you cannot replicate in Photoshop. And the pictures that Ewan did of the raptors,
that's sharpening.
I know they're sharpening, but you never get the same level of crispness.
You see, it's all mirrors, isn't it? Mirrors and clouds. There is a point that
the starting point.
I mean, I wouldn't. Oh, that nice. I wouldn't necessarily use Ewan's phraseology about certain things that leave your body rolled in glitter. But if you start off with a good picture, you can possibly improve it. If you start off with something that, I won't use Ewan's word, that isn't quite so good, there ain't nothing you can do with it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Most cameras these days, you don't have to mess around. They're all automatic. A good lens, a good camera, you can take anything, whack it into Photoshop, and create any effect or any illusion that you want to. And I reckon you could pass that off quite easily. As something
in the amateur market, I would say you're.
I think in the professional market too.
Well, I've been trying and I keep getting caught.
I think what you're going to find is
nothing in Photoshop you can do gives you focus. If your focus is off.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying that most cameras these days have got autofocus and they can take. I will take it. The one thing I will say is when I was working with people who were taking things like a picture of a car, for instance, and they will take a million photos of the car and then group them all together because that's what the client needed to blow it up into this huge car thing. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about really is probably 90% of photography that if you've got an auto machiney camera with a computer in there, a decent lens and Photoshop, you can pretty much achieve 90. I'm going to up it now. 96, because 6 is my favourite number. 96% of everything
roughly
that photographers want to achieve,
which is the reason that Alex and I have gone into niche photography, because the general market is doing exactly what you're saying and making money for doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Their starting point has been given to them more easily.
Yeah. So you agree with me?
I'll go with that.
Huh. Oh, he's annoying me now. That's twice he's been right.
Yeah. Second question from Gary in Swindon. Ewan gave a cool tip the other week for shooting at midday and thinking more of black and white than in colour when shooting.
Well,
T-minus 1 minute for the shuttle. He also mentioned that photographers tend to live for the early mornings and late evenings, and whilst I know there's some stunning images taken at this time, other than colour, is there a reason that a photographer goes for morning or PM extremes?
You're asking me?
Well, you started the last one. Let's all have a go.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't ask me.
Light. Dave.
It depends what time you get up, I reckon.
It's still all about light and shade, isn't it, at the end, at the start and the end of the day. I mean, whether you're shooting in colour or black and white is irrelevant. You want the... It's a different level of contrast that you get at the start and the end of the day. It's more evocative. So I'd say it doesn't matter whether it's black and white or colour. It still is just as valid.
Steve, anything to add?
Is anyone listening?
So, light.
Steve, anything to add?
Light. There's nothing nicer than that early morning light or that kind of 6 o'clock or sunset light. I don't know.
He's looking for a quantification, really. I guess that's the trouble. He's saying, okay, fine, colours are more stark because you've got the lights coming through loads of ozone and smog.
You also got to remember your shadows are softer at dawn than they are at dusk. They're longer, so therefore they're softer. At midday, you've got a harder, contrasty shadow. That's just the fact.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing that people forget as well, I mean, I spoke to a young lad a few years ago, and he was talking about pictures of the space station. He said, oh, God, it's so clear, isn't it? Why is it so crisp and so sharp? I said, because there's no air in the way. And he looked at me like I was stupid. I was like, no, you've got to bear in mind that you can't see through air. Air is opaque, not very much opaque, but, you know, the more oblique the angle, the more air you're going through to get to where you want to go. So if you're talking about AM and PM, because the light's so much lower, it's coming through more atmosphere to get to your subject. your shadows are longer, the light is naturally softer then because you've got a diffusing effect from the atmosphere.
It's which also, is where you've got an orange filter on it as well, which, you know, tones down the blues and it makes everything warmer.
We like warm.
We like warm.
Good answer.
Well done. Well done.
Are we, how close are we?
Stopped
on 31
seconds.
Ah, I knew it would, you see. Carry on. Question three. I've looked at internet... I sound like Kyle asking these, don't we?
It's obviously not as easy as we think.
No, it's not. I give him loads of grief over it as well. I've looked with interest at Photoshop CS 5.5 in recent weeks, and having not upgraded since CS3, I'm thinking about taking the plunge. Before I do, I thought I'd ask you guys what you think I should do and whether the leap to CS 5.5 is worth it. Thanks, loving the show, Janice. North Carolina.
Hello, Janice in North Carolina. I would say from CS3 to 5.5 is a good jump. From CS4 to 5.5 is a bit... There's a couple of professional things I use. And from CS5 to 5.5 is a waste of time. Is that short and brief?
Yeah, no. Anyone else using Photoshop? The high-end stuff, no?
Yeah, I've got CS5. Brilliant. Can't knock it, but I wouldn't go to 5.5.
See, I've just bought Elements 9 to do some podcasts, or some screencasts, and I've got to say, I don't think I'll change. I think I'd probably just use 9. 90% of what I do falls within the total scope of Elements 9.
I have to say, the only reason I ended up with Photoshop 5 was... Adobe threw it essentially for free because I had the web design studio, the part that they discontinued, so they upgraded me for free, and I got Photoshop with that for free. So
I mean, I've got 5, but I've got to say, there's going to have to be a huge jump to get me to go past 5.
I mean, the only reason I went from 4 to 5 is one, I do a lot of, I have to do a lot of correction sometimes with perspectives and puppet warp because of some of the things I've had to do. I've had to straighten curved books and I've never been able to do it. And I've been able to do it with puppet warp properly. And the other thing is joining multiple photographs in CS5 that completely improve the algorithm from CS4.
Yeah.
And the blending modes between joining
lens
photographs
correction.
The algorithms have been improved greatly.
So we should vote for Janice to buy it.
If you're on CS3 and you can afford
it's a good jump.
It's a nice jump.
And it's gadgets, come on.
If you've got the money, then you should just buy 4 copies. But
CS3 is not Intel native and CS4 or 5 are, so you'll get... Just buy it anyway because you'll get a 40% speed boost on your workflow anyway.
Well, say that properly into the microphone, dude.
CS3 is not Intel native and CS4 and 5 are, so just buy it. If you've got an Intel Mac, buy it.
And if you're not on a Mac,
then bollocks. I'm going to watch Space Shuttle.
On that note, we're going to watch the Space Shuttle launch. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back again at 10 o'clock this evening for the big show, and more people have arrived by that point.
You and Rankin at twitter.com.
No, we're not doing where you are and where we can get. We've done that in the previous show. You know where we are. We'll see you next week, back to normal.
And thank you, UK2.
UK2.net, our hosts, our sponsors. Now I'll cut and paste that in from the other show.
Thanks, UK2.
No, they're our sponsors. We love them to bits. Please go and support UK2. If you go to our homepage, bageltechnews.com, and then scroll down to the bottom, click the UK2 link, then that's going to track you through going to their website, and it's going to let them know that we sent you. If you just want to sign into your account, please use that link. They're totally cool with that. And when you get to the end and you purchase what you want, you get 15% off if you use the offer code BagelTech. If you don't use it, then there's been a couple of people that...
Yes, we won't mention anyone.
No, I spoke to the guy at UK2, Craig, and he said that there's a couple of people who've used the link to come through, bought a shed load of stuff, and forgotten to put BagelTech in and lost 15% off as a result. So he said, remember to tell them that. That would be Andrew.
Yes, and funny enough, they're technology experts.
UK2.net, make sure you support them, because you support them, you support us. We're going to get... we're going to watch the shuttle launch and we're going to get bluted.
Yeah, just in
and
time
we're going to fire a barbecue up now because we're all hungry. And we're back at 10 o'clock, so we'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
Bandwidth and hosting for BagelTech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.